This has been a challenging week for me. And as a result, I've made a shift in the sermon that I'm going to preach today. My original intention was to carry on in the book of James, but I've decided to really, I guess, delay that until the beginning of the new year and focus more specifically on Christmas themes for the next few weeks. Well, remember a couple of weeks ago, I made a comment about my dad failing his road test. Well, as it turned out, I discovered he was still driving, and there must be some kind of an interim period from the time that you maybe fail your test to when ultimately you have to give up your license. I don't quite understand how that worked. Well, last Saturday, he was in a car accident, and he ended up hitting a parked car. And as a result, he broke his sternum and then had to go into surgery and is still in hospital. I mean, he's doing okay, but at age 93, obviously this is a pretty traumatic experience for him. And Arnie and I are going to be flying out to Abbotsford on this coming Friday. And as a result, next Sunday, I will not be here, but Mark Vanderham has very graciously offered to preach for me, so I'm very, very appreciative, Mark, that you'll be able to do that. And we'll be spending some time in Abbotsford. We'll be there several days. The theme that I have been looking at and thinking about during the Advent season, and we started to look at it last week, I called it slow down. And the reason being that sometimes it's very easy for us to kind of ramp up, and we typically ramp up during the Christmas season. But the season of Advent is calling us to slow down, to think about it, to think about all the prophecies related to the coming of Christ, to really ponder the marvel of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us and what that means. And it hasn't been easy for me this week. My mind has been scattered in so many different directions, all kinds of memories, and emotionally, I'm finding that my emotions have been kind of all up and down this week, all over the map. And my guess is I'm not the only one. There are many things that are going on in the world around us, globally, and then there are many things happening in our own personal world. Someone said it rather cynically. He said this, that anyone who doesn't have high blood pressure these days simply isn't paying attention. And I think there's probably some truth to that. And maybe we need to sort of distance ourselves a little bit. And for many, the Christmas season, it tends to heighten anxiety, increase the stress. It's a season of joy, and yet for many, it's a time of emotional loss or lows. And yet this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, we are focusing on the theme of peace. Now, the Hebrews have a wonderful word for peace. We tend to think of peace as absence of conflict. But when they think of peace, they're really thinking of it in a sense of flourishing. They have the word shalom. It talks about wholeness and completeness. You know, everything is ultimately fulfilled. When Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full," a Jewish person hearing that would understand. He's talking about, you know, flourishing in all respects, areas of your life. It's the picture in the Old Testament, of course, in Psalm 23, when it talks about how God, as our shepherd, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And sheep will not lie down until they're absolutely content and their bellies are satisfied. Lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, the Jewish people experienced periods of shalom in their history. But their disobedience to the covenant, their continual pursuit of idolatry and rejection of God and going after idols resulted in them losing that shalom at numerous times in their history. Their history has been problematic and deeply troubled. But they would look always to the future, and they had that longing that a day would come when, as in the early days of the reign of Solomon, where everything was peaceful, and they were worshiping again around the glorious temple, and life was good. It was a time of prosperity. Everything was fine in their world. They looked and longed to that day when that would come back. When once again they would have a great and flourishing dynamic kingdom as in the king in days of King David. Now they thought that given the days in which Jesus came, they viewed peace as something that, first of all, it would likely come after a period of violence because their enemies would have to be eliminated. But what they didn't recognize when Jesus came was that the heart of the human problem is not just sort of out there, but the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that is our own sin and our own rebellion against God. And that's ultimately what needs to be addressed. That causes a barrier, and we ultimately then are under the judgment of God. But when we come and put our faith and trust in Christ, when we come to know the peace, or the Prince of Peace, we begin to experience peace with God. The Jews did not recognize that the decisive victory over the enemies would be over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. They didn't recognize that shalom would ultimately come through their Messiah dying on a cross and ultimately rising from the dead, and his eventual return to bring in that heavenly kingdom. Now, the majority of the Jewish people rejected Jesus as their Messiah. But there were exceptions. And this morning, I'd like us for just a few moments to reflect on the life of one of them. And his name was Simeon. And it's a beautiful text. Take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, 23 to 35. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Notice these godly, spiritual qualities of Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, the thing that's interesting about Simeon is that he was not a professional priest, but he was a godly, godly man, likely very senior and up in years. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Well, the parents brought in the child Jesus. Now, I recognize this is now happening after the birth of Christ. We'll look at that in a moment. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, notice this, one of the most famous statements in all of Scripture. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. Notice the scope of what Simeon envisioned. He really understood that what God was doing through the Christ, through the Messiah, was not just for the people of Israel, but in fact it was for the whole earth. And notice it says that the child's father and mother, Mary and Joseph, what do? They marveled at what was said about him. But then notice it moves into a little bit of an ominous tone. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and it'd be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, Mary and Joseph previously had brought their newborn son, and we're now looking at it from sort of the other side of Christmas, which we're of course coming up to shortly. But previously they had traveled, the 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to fulfill the Jewish law that 8 days after the birth, the male child was to be circumcised. But now this is now 33 days later, and there's another final ceremonial dedication of the child, and Simeon is there. We don't know anything else about him in the Bible. But there was something about him, and for some reason, and many of the key characters in the Christmas story, the shepherds, you know, the wise men, even Mary, were often not the more prominent people. And yet God, there was something about their heart that God was interested in. And so God had revealed to Simeon that the Christ would be born in his lifetime. He was sensitive. He's obedient to the Spirit. His name is derived from a Hebrew name that simply means to hear. So there's something about him. He's a man who is, he's godly, he's devout, he's totally devoted to the work of the Lord, and he has ears to hear. In other words, his heart and his physical ears are open, of course, to the voice of God. Now, all Jewish people believed that their nation was the chosen nation, but they also recognized that they could not accomplish these things on their own. They could not establish their kingdom and resurrect, you know, the vibrancy of their nation on their own. They were looking for a champion, and as mentioned, they were, many of them, looking for a military champion who would bring it about. Simeon, though, was looking at it differently. His was a life of quiet, of prayer, and of devotion to God. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. When you console someone during a time of bereavement, you're hoping to kind of help them to feel less sad. He was referring to, now the term, the consolation of Israel, referred to the messianic salvation that would come about, the comfort that the Messiah would bring. Reference to the coming that we know, of course, was the coming of Christ. Now, when we think of it today, there are many things that people are looking for to find contentment. Where are you looking today? We all have expectations, and sometimes the Christmas season tends to sort of accentuate these expectations, and unfortunately, they also can accentuate the disappointments if the expectations are not met. There are emotional expectations that people have. There's a sense that somehow we ought to feel good. We ought to feel better. We ought to feel joy. We ought to feel happy. We ought to have a sense of being fulfilled. People will do everything to kind of bring it about. They'll go to parties. They decorate their homes. Maybe we'll put up lights, and we do all of these things, listening to Christmas music and perhaps watching old movie classics. And we do these, why? Because we enjoy them, but also they make us feel good. We want to feel good about it. And if we don't, then it can be very challenging. There are material expectations, of course, that people have. And sometimes you are hoping, you're looking to get things or make things that will make someone else happy, or maybe you're hoping it for yourself, and we don't always get what we want. And maybe it doesn't impact us as adults so often, but it certainly can be a challenge for children. We can sometimes feel empty at the end. Countless people will go into debt over Christmas, and they'll spend exorbitant amounts of money getting caught up in it. They have material expectations, trying to purchase or get all the things that are on sale and so on. And what happens is ultimately they can be left empty and feeling unfulfilled. Relational. I remember growing up, there were always relational expectations, particularly with my mom. There was a lot of conflict in my family growing up. It was never easy, particularly around Christmas. And mom would do kind of absolutely everything she could. Beautiful food, the house would be decorated beautifully. Everything would be perfect, and she would try so hard, and I would often feel like we were walking on eggshells, wondering when the first words of anger would be raised, and often my mother would be in tears. But we hope and desire that friends and family, that we would have a deeper experience of love and joy. So we travel, we go places, we do things. We have many expectations, but if it's only about the emotions, the material things, the relationships, then really we have to be extremely lucky for all of these things to kind of come together and align in such a way that it's going to be okay and we are fulfilled. But then there are spiritual expectations. Everyone has them, and not everyone recognizes them. There's a desire, there's often a longing. There are often echoes as people hear stories and they recall memories growing up. And they have a longing to perhaps experience, and we know that it's a longing to ultimately have an experience with God. Maybe they're sitting at a concert and they're listening to the words of the Messiah. Or maybe they participate in some charitable act, in some act of virtue, and there's this sort of longing. It's kind of a spiritual experience for some of them. But ultimately, where are they met? Well, let's take Simeon. He had expectations as well. But his expectations were of a different sort. And they were ultimately met. You now dismiss your servant in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people. What does he say? We could paraphrase. In a sense, he says, everything in my world is good. All is well in the world because I have seen and I've held in my arms the Messiah. My prayers that I've been praying all of these years for my people have ultimately been fulfilled. I can now leave because he has come. Well, how are these expectations met? Expectations, meeting expectations, can be very costly. And our unmet expectations, Simeon says, they have a price, but the price has been paid. Notice what he says. He blesses Mary and his mother, Mary's mother, and says, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many. A sword will pierce your own soul too. What is he speaking about? Well, Simeon, I don't know whether he fully understood the cross, but he recognized and probably recalled many of the prophecies, for example, of Isaiah. But all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to his own way. God has placed the iniquity of us all upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He probably understood that somehow this child was going to suffer, was going to die. He might not have known exactly when and how it would occur. But he prophetically says to Mary, even though I'm at peace, my mission, in a sense, has been accomplished. It's going to be very difficult and painful for you. And what we have here is the very earliest mention in the Gospels of the sufferings of Christ. And yet it's because of the cross. It's because of what Simeon foresaw, that when we come and embrace Jesus, our Messiah, as our Savior, the day comes when our emotional and our material and our relational and our spiritual expectations will be fully met and then some. And in the meantime, like Simeon, no matter what is going on in the world, it doesn't mean that we abandon it, but we recognize that our peace comes from within. And we can say with Simeon, you can now dismiss me with peace because my eyes have seen your salvation. A number of weeks ago, I was drawn to a very short psalm of David. In fact, one that I must have read before, but I've hardly even noticed. And yet it's a beautiful psalm that I think kind of illustrates the kind of peace that we're talking about. And it paints a beautiful word picture, and I'm going to encourage you to consider memorizing it during the Advent season. David begins and he talks about the propensity of pride and how often we try to pursue things, we try to succeed, and pride and arrogance and all of these things can distract us and can be very distressing and disturbing. But notice what he says. He says, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed, quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Here's where I will put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore." And what I see here and picture here is, even though Simeon was the one who himself was embracing this child, Simeon himself was like a weaned child. He wasn't chafing, he wasn't fretting, he wasn't stressing, but he was content. And like David, he could say, "I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." My prayer for you and for me this week and over the coming days is that we will be able to experience that peace of Christ that comes when we recognize our Savior, when we come to Him for forgiveness, when we come to Him for purpose, when we come to Him as the Prince of Peace, and we allow ourselves to experience that shalom, that completeness, that wholeness. It might be enhanced and helped, and certainly we have expectations. We do, of course, have emotional and material and relational, but ultimately our spiritual expectations are met when we put our faith and trust in Christ, and when we walk with Him through this Advent season. Would you pray with me?